Columbia presents Corwin. Tonight, Norman Corwin brings you A Very Fine Tight Girl, starring Minerva Pyus and featuring Adelaide Klein and Larry Haynes. Music is by Alexander Semler.
This is Norman Corwin. I believe that Minerva Pyus is one of the greatest and most versatile original talents in radio, and it's always seemed to me a pity that playwrights have never written extensively for her. It's safe to say that characters of her creation are far better known to you than her name, as, for example, Mrs. Nussbaum of the Fred Allen Company.
No, so you are expecting maybe Becky Grable?
Or you may know her as a number of other people, including Camille Flanagan.
It's strictly a matter of taste, you know what I mean?
On this one series alone, Miss Pyus has been heard in a wide range of roles, such as that of the hotel maid in the little English town of Cromer.
Sorry, I've got to do the blackout. Excuse me.
But until tonight, no play has ever been written expressly for Miss Pyus, so I've attempted to remedy the situation in the shape of a very fine type girl.
I says to him, are you kidding?
And what he say?
He says, absolutely not. So I says, would you mind repeating that slowly? Maybe my ears are acting up. So he says to me, Vera, my dearer, get that grace note, will you, Vera, my dearer? I merely want to know, he says, whether you'd prefer to take this dictation sitting in my lap or in a more orthodox position.
And what'd you say to him?
I says, listen, Casanova, the first place it's much cooler sitting in my own chair. The second place, I think you're slightly repulsive with that old routine. And in the third place, I have a perfectly good boyfriend whose lap I'd much rather sit in, and which, in fact, I'd be sitting in right this minute if he wasn't out bombing Nazis in the Liberator.
Dear, I didn't think you had it in you.
Wait a minute, that's not all.
No?
I says to him, okay now, Mr. Finch, have you got a letter you want to dictate, or haven't you? If you haven't, then you're wasting my overtime and the firm's money.
Gee, he must have sunk right through the floor, didn't he?
Him? Not so you'd notice it. He says to me, look, can I help it if you strangely fascinate me? So I says, well, you certainly can help it. What kind of a type girl do you think I am, anyway?
That's straight enough from the shoulder.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, if he thinks it...
Oh, that's probably Mr. Finch.
Well, if it is, it better be strictly business, which it won't be if I know Mr. Finch. Yeah, hello. Yeah, this is Vera Holohan. Long distance. Hey, Abby, long distance.
Who'd be calling you long distance at this hour?
What? New York? Hey, you got the right Miss Holohan? Well, I don't know a soul in New York. Yeah, well, that's this number, all right.
New York? That's a funny one.
Hello? They're ringing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Who? Pat!
Not your Pat.
Pat, what are you doing in New York? I thought you were in Normandy.
Pat home?
Pat. Darling, it's so wonderful to hear your voice. Say that again. What? You're coming home tonight? Will I be there? Of course I'll be there, Dopey. What do you mean, too late? What's 2:30 in the morning to me when you're coming home? Sure, airport at 2:30. Okay, honey, goodbye. Whoopee, oh, sister. The light of me life has come in by bomber from England, and he's heading home.
Is he on furlough?
He didn't say. He said he'd tell me all about it when he gets in.
Oh,
geez. Oh, Eddie, I feel just like dancing in the avenue. In fact, I'll dance right here.
Oh,
hey, look at me. Me and Rita Hayward. Is that Dan?
I'll answer it.
Hello?
Nothing's going on up here.
Who is it?
The landlady. She says to stop making so much noise.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me talk to her.
Okay.
Hello? Mrs. Grossclothes? Well, listen here, you old pickle-puss. Do I complain when you practice singing, huh?
Well, if that ain't a worse noise than my tap dancing, I'll eat that new shower curtain you haven't put in yet.
Oh, stop it, Vera.
How dare I talk this way? Well, Patrick McGovern's home from France. That's how. Goodbye. Oh,
Vera, you've insulted Mrs. Grossclothes.
Listen, I feel good enough to insult anybody. Where's my coat?
What's the matter with you? Where are you going?
To the airport, you dope. The plane gets in at 2:30.
But it's not 12 yet.
I'm just going to sit around there. Maybe the plane will come in early.
All right, Vera, my dear. I suppose you'll be home very late.
You got a point there, roommate. I'll try not to wake you when I get in.
Oh, don't worry about that. You won't wake me.
Okie doke. Bye, darling.
Bye. And give Pat a hug for me, will you?
Not a chance tonight. All the hugs are strictly my own for the next 48 hours.
All right. Have it your way. Bye.
So long.
Is that you, Vera?
Yeah, I just got in. Did I wake you up?
Oh, no. Tell me, how's Pat? Is he all right?
Yeah, he's all right.
What's the matter, Vera?
Nothing. Go back to sleep, Addie. I'll tell you about it later.
Oh. No, something's wrong. Wait a minute, I'm going to put the light on.
Don't bother, please. Oh. Don't put it on.
Vera, you've been crying.
Don't get out of bed, Addie.
Oh,
I'm all right. I'm just going to sit up for a while because I wouldn't be able to sleep anyway.
Is he wounded? Was he wounded, Vera?
Yeah, he was wounded. But not bad.
Oh, that's good.
He's over that. He's been discharged.
Discharged?
Yeah.
Honorably discharged?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Nothing wrong as far as the Army's concerned. In fact, he's a hero. He's got the Purple Heart and the DFC.
Well, then, for heaven's sake, what's the matter?
Well, he's a changed guy, that's all. He's not the same Pat we used to know.
Well, how do you mean? In what way?
Well, I don't know, Addie. He didn't seem especially glad to see me. You'd think he'd never been farther away than South Chicago.
I don't get it. He called you up from New York and asked you to meet him, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, I guess he wanted to be met by someone. But he certainly didn't want to stay met for long. He seemed awfully nervous and jittery. And...
Oh, maybe he's just tired, Vera.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, maybe so. There's something besides that.
Well, do you think maybe it's another girl?
No. It's just that he's kind of bitter.
Bitter?
Yeah.
Well, what about? Why should he be bitter?
Well, I don't know, Addie. That's what I have to find out. Don't you like the fish sauce, darling?
No, I think it's awful. Waiter. Waiter!
Yes? What is it, Captain?
Kind of warmed over slap do you call this?
What, you don't like the soup?
No. And another thing I don't like is your face.
Well, I can change the soup for you, but I can't change the face.
Never mind the wise cracks. Why do we have to wait 20 minutes between courses in this stinking place?
Oh, come on now, Pat.
Well, Captain, there happens to be a war on. We don't have as
Don't
many...
tell me there's a war on. I know there's a war on. I've been in it, see?
Pat, control yourself.
Stay out of this, Vera. Get the soup out of here and bring back something fit for a man to eat.
Listen, I'm not going to take that kind of talk from anybody. You can speak to the manager about it if you want.
Why, you bald-headed goon, here's your dough. Come on, Vera, let's get out of this dump.
Good riddance.
Listen, you dog.
Pat, calm down. Don't go after him now. Leave well enough alone. Come on, let's get out of here. Well, so now you're out.
Yeah.
Do you feel any better now that you've created a scene and left our dinner standing on the table?
Lay off me, Vera.
I certainly will lay off you, and for a long time, too. I'm going home. You've been acting this way for 3 days now, and I don't want to take any more of it. You ought to be ashamed of yourself wearing the uniform of the United States Army and behaving the way you do.
Well, maybe I am ashamed of myself.
What do you mean, maybe you are?
I don't blame you for getting peed, Vera. Trouble is, I don't know what got into me. I guess I'm just all mixed up.
But what is it, honey? Tell me what it is and maybe I can help you. What's eating you?
I just wish I knew. This jittery is a jumping bean.
Come here. Sit down on this bench. I ain't going to take another step without you telling me what's the trouble.
No, let's go on and get dinner.
Dinner can wait. Sit down here.
Well, I don't even know where to begin.
Is it that you had some horrible experience in battle?
No, no. I've seen a lot of pretty tough things, but that ain't it.
What tough things, Pat? Come out with them.
Oh, what's the good of going into that stuff?
Is it maybe that you're all tired out?
No. More that I'm lonely, I guess.
Lonely?
Yeah, I can't exactly explain it.
That's certainly flattering to your present company, I must say.
No, you don't understand, baby. All the time I was away, I thought I'd get over that feeling as soon as I saw you again, but it's a different kind of loneliness than I ever had before. I'm just trying to figure it out.
You mean you want to get back to fighting? Is it that you miss your outfit?
Well, nobody wants to get back to fighting for the sake of fighting. But you know something? There was a kind of responsibility we had in the force, a kind of working together and a team feeling.
Comradeship, you mean?
Yeah, I guess you could call it that. We felt like we were, well, I suppose you could say, responsible citizens. You know what I mean? We could rely on ourselves to come through in a pinch if it depended on us. Self-reliant and self-disciplined is the way the colonel put it.
But still, you must have had worries, too, didn't you? I mean, it wasn't exactly flying kites, was it?
No.
And aren't you relieved to get away from those worries?
Well, sure.
Well, then I should think.
Yeah,
that
but
you...
now I got new worries for old.
Such as what, Pat?
Well, in the 3 years I was in service, I never had to worry about where I'd get my next meal.
Right.
Or about a roof over my head.
And now you're wondering whether you'll get your old job back again?
Wondering? You're doggone right I'm wondering. I don't know whether or not I want to go back to nailing up crates in the shipping department. Look, I know a major in the Air Force who was a janitor in a school before he was drafted. I don't know whether he's going to be very happy sweeping up offices after the work he's done over Berlin and Ploesti.
Yeah. I can see there are going to be some problems to take care of.
Problems? Let me tell you another thing.
Don't bother, Vera. I'll wipe them. Just leave them be.
No, no, I got nothing better to do. I might as well help.
Okay. So what'd you do after the movie?
Well, he walked me home. And all the way from the Strand to this doorstep, he opened his mouth only once.
What?
And that was to ask me whether the movie short we saw about the black market was really true.
Why? Didn't he believe it?
He said it was hard to believe. Said he couldn't understand a lot of things about civilians in this war.
Yeah.
Then he shut up like a clam. Left me on the doorstep with a kiss like from an old biology professor.
But did you ask him in?
Yeah, but he said he was fagged and had to go home and rest. I never saw a man so blue in all my life.
Vera, you know what I think you ought to do?
What?
I think that boy needs a rest. You ought to get him out in the country and see that he gets clean air and a lot of fresh milk and cream and get him to listen to music and maybe read some poetry. Maybe he's been away from the finer things too long. You know, he's led a pretty grim life for the past few years.
You really think that might help?
I honestly do, Vera.
Well, you know, Jack and Aggie Goodman got a place in the country. Maybe I could wangle an invitation for the both of us.
What do you mean, wangle? Just call him up and demand it as a patriotic service to a hero back from the wars.
Yeah, the more I think of it, the better I like the idea. You may be on the right track there, Raddy. I'm going to try. Ain't this really the nuts, Pat?
Yeah. Look at that pretty cumulus over there.
Cauliflower clouds, I call them. Boy, the air smells so green and fresh.
It was in the sky just like this over Augsburg one day that we tangled with 300 folk wolves.
Well, to get back to this book, how'd you like to hear another poem?
Okay, go ahead.
This here one's by John Keats, and it's called Bright Star.
Yeah.
Bright star, would I were steadfast as thou art, not in lone splendor hung aloft the night, and watching with eternal lids apart, like nature's patient, sleepless eremite.
What's eremite?
I don't know exactly.
Why does he use words like that?
Well, he knew what it meant. I think it's a plastic.
Eremite?
Oh, no, it couldn't be a plastic because it says like nature's sleepless eremite. If it was a plastic, it would be made by man.
Yeah. Go on.
Oh, where was I? Oh, yeah. The moving waters at their priest-like task of pure ablution round Earth's human shores. No, yet still steadfast, still unchangeable, pillowed upon my fair love's ripening breast, to feel forever its soft fall and swell, awake forever in a sweet unrest, still, still to hear her tender taken breath, and so live ever, or else swoon to death. Pat, what are you thinking?
I was just reminded of something.
What is it, dear?
Do you remember Chuck Hensley?
No.
He worked in the accounting department just before you left the plant. I thought you met him.
Oh, no.
Well, he was in the infantry. He got an arm shot off. I got a letter from him when I was in the hospital. He said in this letter that when he got back, his wife was so horrified by his injury that he didn't know what to do.
Too bad about her.
He said there hardly seemed to be any meeting ground between the people who made such a hero of him and people like his own wife. Were afraid to face up to the fact that he had an arm off.
Is he back at work?
Yeah, he's got a job making ceramics. He says one of the worst things is people he runs into who act so doggone cheerful about his injury, you want to punch him in the nose with your one remaining fist.
Pat, what's that up there? A flock of geese?
Yeah, geese. That real one's a little out of line. Reminds me of the time we were raiding St. Malo. There was a Mustang covering us. And I hear on the intercom from the tail gunner, there are a bunch of fighters coming up at St.
Well, so you can see the country did him a lot of good. On the way back, he got into an argument about labor, and I thought the whole bus was going to have to quiet him down.
What was he arguing about?
Well, he was very bitter about the number of strikes and all that stuff.
Well, didn't you tell him that the number of workers who struck compared to the number who didn't strike is a very small fraction?
Yeah, well, a guy on the bus who butted into the argument said that exact same thing. But Pat said even a very small fraction was too much.
Well, a very small fraction of soldiers deserts at the front, too, but nobody condemns the whole army for it.
Say, yeah, I'll have to tell him that.
What else was eating him this time?
Well, a lot of things. Little things that really piled up and got me down. He's just a sour guy, that's all. I suppose if I didn't love him as much as I do, I'd have dropped him long ago.
Well, for heaven's sake, Vera, there has to be a limit. I mean, if every man who gets back from overseas is going to behave this way, we'll be in a fine stew. He mustn't expect to come back and find
now,
the world.
Now, wait a minute, Cookie. Pat's been through something that's made him a little sick in his head. After all, if he'd have come back with a physical handicap, well, then I'd stick to him, wouldn't I, and help him until he got better?
Yeah, so what?
Well, just because this takes the form of a funny attitude, that's no reason I should run out on him, is it? I think it's even less reason.
Vera, all I'm trying to say is that you shouldn't coddle him too much, because... Well, because that wouldn't be good for him, would it?
Yeah, but it's hard to know where to begin and leave off in that kind of thing. Gosh, I wish I knew what to do.
Well, you tried rest and quiet, and you found that made him worse than ever. Say, maybe what he needs is just the opposite.
Some fun and excitement.
Like what, for instance?
Like, well, go to some shows. Take him to a night spot.
You think that might help?
Well, it'll be worth trying.
Well, nothing ventured, nothing gained, huh?
Mm.
Hand me the amusement section there, will you?
Those people over at the next table. Plastered. It's a fine way to fight the battle on the home front.
Are you still harping on that? Why don't you relax and enjoy yourself? What are you always biting somebody's head off for?
What a chip joint. Look at the prices they charge here.
Well, you get something for it, don't you?
Yeah, a headache.
Uh-uh. I see we got a couple of visitors.
Hey, Chitter. Put it there, kid.
Hello.
Well, well, a soldier boy.
Hey, Eisenhower, did you ever hear the story of the Irishman, the Scotchman, and the Jew?
Thanks, I'd just as soon not hear it.
Well, these three were fighting in Italy, see, and the Irishman says to the Jew, Maury says...
Now, look, I've heard this story, and I don't like it.
Well, why don't you like it?
Take your friend away, miss. He's intoxicated.
I'm not talking to you. Why don't you like it, Boy Scout?
Because it's an insult to Irishmen, Scotchmen, and Joes, a great many of whom happen to be out fighting tonight.
Ah, which are you?
That's none of your business.
You're a fresh one, aren't you?
I happen to be an Irishman, if that'll please you. My buddy and best friend was a Joe, and he's dead now, and I don't want to hear any more about it from a mug like you, do you understand? Now go before you get into trouble.
Hey, who are you calling a mug?
All right, you're a gentleman. Go away, please.
Ah, so you're a wise guy, huh?
Give him a pop on the nose, Charlie.
Take your hands off him, you punk.
That's it. Suck him.
All right. Oh. You asked for it.
What's so funny, Eddie?
Well, after I'm through using this beefsteak on your black eye, you can cook it. That's like having your cake and eating it.
I fail to appreciate the humor.
Well, now you got a black eye to go with your purple dress.
You're making fun of me, and I've had just about more than I can take.
I'm sorry, darling. I want you to look so funny.
Pat balls me out for mixing up in the fight. Now you have to taunt me.
Honestly, I'm sorry, Vera, but... I don't see why Pat should have been angry with you. You were just helping him.
He said he was ashamed of me coming out of a nightclub with a black eye.
Oh, and what'd you say to him?
I said, look, if you came home crippled from the war, I wouldn't laugh at you. He said to me, yeah, but it's different with a man. That's his job, to fight. I said, oh, yeah? How about the pioneer women in the covered wagons? Maybe they got more than a black eye when they had to get out and fight Indians. So he didn't say anything to that. So to rub it in, I said, how about them Russian women who've been flying fighter planes and shooting down Nazis?
You certainly can handle yourself in an argument, kid.
Well, you should have seen how the other woman looked.
So wonder to me you weren't pinched.
I might just as well be in jail for all the good it does me. Pat won't take me out till my eye heals. That's what I get for fighting his fights. I don't think he appreciates the kind of girl I am.
Oh, Vera, sure he does. He's just probably afraid that, well, that if he appears with you in public, people will think he gave you the black eye.
You think that's what it is?
Of course. Stands to reason.
I sure wish Pat stood to reason. I'm still worried about him.
Vera, you know what I think you ought to do?
What?
There must be somebody you can see about Pat.
Boy, he'd never speak to me
if
I...
Oh, no, oh, no. I mean somebody who could tell you what to tell Pat.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I've been going at this like an amateur. Maybe I need some professional advice, huh? But where am I going to get it?
Why don't you ask Mr. Finch?
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not. He's a pretty smart guy, even if he is a little over-romantic.
Yeah, he's that all right. Say, maybe that's a good idea. I'll ask him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me see. Why don't you talk with somebody over at the Council of Social Agencies?
You think that'd do some good, Mr. Finch?
Well, they might recommend you to somebody.
Well, I see your problem. We don't yet have one centralized agency to handle these cases, but I suggest that you see somebody at the U.S. Employment Service. And, of course, there's the Hines Hospital for Veterans.
I think you ought to take a run over at the Veterans Administration and see the reconditioning officer.
And you say he's bitter most of the time, huh?
Yes, Major. I think he's mostly bitter about the question of a job. And he keeps talking about whether the sacrifices the boys are making are worth it. You know, that kind of thing. Says there's a lot of people don't seem to know there's a war on.
Well, I'm afraid that's not uncommon among returning soldiers. I think we have to make the captain understand that there are some Americans behaving that way, but they're by no means a majority. They're not even typical. They're an unfortunate minority. The only way we can really lick problems like this, Miss Holohan, is by the cooperation of sympathetic individuals. People like yourself who really care and want to go to some trouble for these men.
Well, they went to some trouble for us, after all.
Exactly. Of course, the individual can't do it alone. We're going to have to get much more help from communities and from industry itself. Now, in the case of your boyfriend, obviously, the first thing is to get him a decent job.
Why, yes, I do know about an opening for the kind of man you describe.
You do?
All right, I'll call him up. And not let on it was you who put me onto it.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Cherichock.
Hey, Vera, guess what? I got a phone call today, and you know what?
What?
So, he likes his new job, does he?
Well, Mr. Finch, his kissing's improved, if that's any indication.
Say, what's Pat trying to do, make a grand entrance? He's late already.
Keep your sweater on. He'll be here in a minute.
Okay, then. I just won't put the roast on till he gets here.
Now, remember, I had nothing to do with that phone call from Shep Chartok.
Okay, I won't let on a thing.
And as far as you know, I haven't seen a soul or talked to anybody.
Take it easy, Vera. Do you think I'm going to blab all over the place?
No, just in one or two places.
Oh, is that so? Come on in.
Greetings, please. Hey, why isn't dinner ready? What are you girls doing out of the kitchen?
Dinner isn't ready because you're late.
Are them carnations for me?
No, for the landlady. But will you keep in the icebox for me until after dinner?
Oh, you're sweet, Pat.
Oh, I got a tough exterior, but a warm heart beats underneath, don't it, Vera?
That I'll buy.
You seem more cheerful than when I saw you last, Pat.
Well, why shouldn't I be? My department beat its quota by 12% this week.
Oh, that's well.
Oh, Hitler should only see how those gun barrels were rolling out. He'd start chewing carpets between meals.
Say, Pat, do you like corned beef and cabbage?
Do I like corned beef and cabbage? I'm swooning with anticipation.
Well, don't swoon, because that's not what I've got for dinner. I've got a roast, and you're going to be good and hungry before it's ready, too.
She's a swell girl, ain't she?
One of the best. True blue.
And you know something, Vera?
What, Pat?
You're a very fine type girl yourself.
You have been listening to A Very Fine Type Girl. Written, directed, and produced by Norman Corwin as the 21st of a limited series of broadcasts for Columbia. Minerva Pius was starred in the role of Vera Holohan. Adelaide Klein was Addie, and Larry Haynes was Pat. Others in the cast were Hester Sondergaard, Kermit Murdoch, Paul Mann, Joseph Julian, Eleanor Sherman, and Kathleen Carnes. Music was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Next week at this time, Norman Corwin will bring you a new work entitled There Will Be Time Later. Mr. Corwin is reducing his Columbia Presents series by 4 weeks in order to concentrate exclusively on a very special hour-long broadcast, details of which will be announced on the air and in the press at a later date. Harry Marble speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.